This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com.
Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 5/27/21, show number 275. Well, we've got one theme this week, or maybe two, Nick. It's light volume and higher prices.
That's it. And that's what comes along when you normally go into a holiday. So this being the Memorial Day holiday this weekend, obviously the markets will be closed on Monday, the 31st of May. You normally will see this. You'll see very, very light volume, and you have to give the market the upside bias when you get that light volume. If you don't and you try to fight the market, you'll usually get your head handed to you. What will go down is stocks that are in the news, things that have earnings, stocks that have some kind of big event going on. You know, those will be the movers, but the indexes generally will float higher this week. We normally look for that, and that's been the case. And I'd expect even a flat to positive day going into the close as long as the volume is light, and it's been very, very light this week.
All right. Well, no surprises there. Gold and silver down a little bit. They were up all day yesterday, and then the mysterious seller comes in in the early afternoon, and all of a sudden they're down.
Yeah, you know, but Kerry, honestly, gold has had such a run. It's been a terrific run. Yesterday, we even talked about how it's going into the sell-off bar from January 8th. So when you have a move up into a big, big wide range reversal day like January 8th, you'll normally what we call run into overhead resistance is what we call it. And the markets need to pause there. They need to consolidate. I love the fact that gold is stalling out. I don't even want to see it go higher right now. So just the fact that it's pulling back a little bit, that's not a problem at all. That's healthy. That's what you want to see. You want to see people that have it take some profits, and you want to see sideways consolidation if you get that. Like I said yesterday, gold will test 1950, ultimately 2000. I think it's going to 2000 either way. But this is just part of, you know, nothing goes up in a straight line. That's just part of the dynamics of the trading charts.
Yeah, and silver had broken that $28 mark, which is pretty, it looks like pretty heavy resistance there, and immediately pulled back.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it should do. I mean, silver, you got to say on the 18th of May, it went as high as $28.90 on silver futures, and you know, it backed off. But look at the pattern it's doing. It's perfect inside bar, sideways consolidation. This is what you want to see. This is the kind of pattern that you like to see. I'd just like to see more of it. If it can just stay this way for a while longer, then it's setting up to go a lot higher. But I actually love what I'm seeing with the precious metals. I love the pullbacks that we're getting in here now, and especially silver. Silver is one that needed to pull back, and it's setting up very, very nicely going forward.
All right. Well, that's what we like to hear. So a little more continuity on that pattern and potentially a huge upside move, huh?
I believe it is. I believe the setup is there. It's had a great run already. Everything, you know, I always tell all of my members that to look at moves just like somebody would be climbing a mountain. If you're climbing a mountain or running up a mountain, what are you going to do after a while? You need to take a break. You need to sit down, maybe eat a sandwich or have a little bit of Gatorade or something. And then you could resume moving back up the mountain. And it's the same way for stocks. You know, they go up, they need to stall out a little bit, consolidate, and then they move back up and resume the trend.
All right. Well, hey, we'll follow your lead on this, Nick, because you've been right all along for sure. So Bitcoin, I've noticed a couple comments in the YouTube chatter saying that the 200 moving day average of Bitcoin is 40,000 rather, not 30,000. And we're attaching a chart here showing exactly that the 200 day moving average is right at 32,000.
Well, it's at 32,000 now. It actually was a little bit lower when it hit. So the day that it hit on the 19th of May, the 200-day moving average was at 31,116. Now, the 200-day moving average is ascending, so it's moving a little bit higher now. Currently sits at 31,927, according to my charts. Now, I'm using Bitcoin futures. I attached that chart, and I looked at every other chart, too, that's out there. The 200-day moving average is around the 31,000 area. That's it, point blank. If anybody does not know that or see it, that they're just wrong. I hate to say anybody's wrong, because I can always be wrong. wrong, but I'm not wrong on this one.
The charts don't lie. We have a whole show here talking about that the charts don't lie. Here's the chart. And even when you look at the cash prices of Bitcoin, the 200-day moving average is not that much different. And the thing about 200-day moving averages that we know is even after the underlying security or whatever it is, commodity, anything, even once it starts a downturn, the 200-day moving average can continue going up for a while, just on the math, not on the trend.
Sure. And that's exactly what's taking place in Bitcoin right now. So what I would tell everybody to do is just watch that low. Don't even have to worry about the 200-day moving average if you don't want to, but watch the low from the 19th of May. If that low gets breached and closed, meaning price closes below there, watch out. You're going to go down and test 21,000 pretty quickly. So again, that's my advice to everybody right now as a technician. If the chart closes, or if your Bitcoin price closes below that low, which was 30,205, and he closed below there, that's telling you it's setting up for a move down to 21,000, potentially even down to 17,000.
Hey, well, we love getting your hate mail, so just send it off to kl@kerrylutz.com, because you know what? In the end, the charts are either going to tell you what you needed to do, what you've hopefully done, or the charts are going to be wrong, which happens on occasion. But certainly when the warnings are flashed this brightly, you know, I don't even really want to spend this much time on cryptocurrencies, Nick, but it's all the rage. Everybody's talking about it. Yet another reason why they're probably headed lower. As far as the future goes, you can speculate on it. Right now, we're just talking about tradability here, actionable information. So you can either get out with your skin still intact, or perhaps make some money as well.
Yeah, I mean, the thing to do as with something like this that's been really hyped up, and it's I think it's a mania. It reminds me of almost like the dot-coms back in, you know, 99, 2000. It's become a mania. You know, when it was at 65,000, I never seen so many people come up to me asking me about Bitcoin. You know, my kids play baseball. I'd be at a game. I'd have like a crowd. I felt like I was Mick Jagger or somebody. They'd run up to me and they would ask me about Bitcoin. And I'd say, at 65,000, are you nuts? I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't buy it with your money. And they would, you know, and I said that on your program right here too. And I said, you know, hey, listen, this thing's parabolic. We actually put a chart out, Kerry. I mean, you know, I showed you a chart of 2017 and that move all the way to 65,000 on a monthly chart. The patterns are identical. And look at the fall we had, 65,000 all the way down to 30,000. And, you know, I mean, people are still out there just touting this stuff, like Elon Musk and others. And, you know, this is what we call in the business talking your book. So, you know, everybody has an agenda, and, you know, I don't even have any skin in this game at all. I don't even trade Bitcoin because I actually think it's a glorified Ponzi scheme. So for me, you know, gold and silver are where I'll be. But and I own gold and silver bullion, full and fair disclosure. And at times I'll own the paper products, which, you know, are the tradable products like the GDX and GLD and things like that, IAU. But I have no skin in this game. I'm just reading the chart for everybody because we get so many questions about it.
Yeah. Isn't it funny the way these things work? Nobody knows anything about it. It goes up way high in price, and then everybody's talking about it, and then it gets slammed. Do you notice a little pattern forming there, Nick?
I've noticed that pattern on a lot of things over the years.
Yeah, well, I think there's like a few fundamental laws of finance in the world, in the country. Number one is that parabolic moves always crash, and I have yet to see one that hasn't. Number two is that nature abhors a free ride, a free trade. So if it comes down to you just buying something and it's guaranteed to go up indefinitely into the future, it's going to stop. Nature is going to stop it, whether it's businesses, whether it's stock trading, whatever it is. There are no free rides in the long run. And to say that cryptos are risk-free and they're always going to go up is effectively saying it's a free ride. Real estate. Just buy real estate, any real estate anticipate it's going to go up. And, you know, we see this over and over again, Nick. Stocks always go up. See it over and over. And then all of a sudden, the free ride ends. Everybody gets jolted off the train.
That's right. That's right. It's a game of musical chairs. And when the music stops, you know, they pull a chair away and somebody's left without a seat. And this is another, you know, example of that. You said it perfectly. I don't think I could add really much to it. That's exactly it. And that goes for everything. You know, everything becomes where you get into this mania phase and euphoria phase, and everything just goes up straight up. It looks like the Statue of Liberty. And, you know, when everybody's at the torch buying up there, you know, that's when the arm falls off.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Yeah, it's so true. And it happens, because otherwise, if it didn't happen, we'd still be on a tulip economy now, right? If the tulips in Holland hadn't crashed, if that market hadn't crashed, we'd be trading tulips today.
That's right. We would be. And, you know, I a lot of people don't know or have never really studied that, but that's a good study for everybody to go back, because that just shows you, you know, human nature never changes. And what has happened in the past will happen in the future. There's nothing new under the sun. What has been done will be done. And, you know, we see these patterns repeat over and over. And that's why I use charts, because it just gives me an advantage. I can't tell you what, you know, what the sentiment really is of Bitcoin. I can't tell you any of that. All I can tell you is when the crowd is in there, I don't want to be in there. And you know, I haven't even traded that. But I said the same thing for gold, which is a precious metal that I, you know, I've been accumulating over the years, and silver, the same thing there. But, you know, back in August, I missed that last run, but I said, that's okay. I'm not going to miss it. It'll come back in. And, you know, it went from, and sure enough, right? It did exactly what we were talking about there. And now, you know, now I'm back in it.
Yeah, so. You got to be in it to win it. Well, you know, like I said, right now the world's reserve currency is not tulips. Maybe we'll revert to tulips at some point in the future, but it's not happening now. And that's what you got to realize with anything. And maybe cryptocurrencies will become the reserve currency of the future, but it's not going to be with fits and starts, and it's not going to be under an unstable environment like we have now. You can't value stuff in Bitcoin because, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Nick, you could have bought a Tesla for one Bitcoin, and now it would be hard to buy it for two. And this is, they won't even take the Bitcoin anymore for the Tesla. But 2 weeks ago, it would have only taken one Bitcoin to buy a Tesla, you know, Model 3 or Model Y Performance Edition. And now you need two of them. So go figure.
That's right. And, you know, we're going to see that going forward, where these companies jump into Bitcoin and then they jump out. Last night, I saw some news where Carl Icahn is getting into cryptocurrencies, but he likes Ethereum better. You know, this is always going to be in play here. Bottom line is, somebody's looking to make some money in the near term, and somebody's looking. There's always a winner and a loser. That's just the way this business works. So, you know, I hate to say it like that, but somebody's got to be on the other side of the trade, and this is what makes a market.
Absolutely. Could not agree with you more, Nick. In any event, go over to InTheMoneyStocks.com, see how Nick does it. Check out the Twitter feeds at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. Send your emails to me, KL@KerryLutz.com, and make sure you take a close look at the chart that's appended to this podcast, because it's really the money shot. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Nick. Be well.
Be well, Kerry.
And so concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Be sure to go to his website, InTheMoneyStocks.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds, at ITMS and at NickSantiago01.